Yeah, and so we had kind of outlined two primary goals. One was, you know, with guaranteed start spots for period one as the leader of the Super Tour from 2018-2019. You know, we kind of identified that those early races is a big target goal. Also knowing that they're some of the hardest races to succeed at, because everyone from the other nations is coming in hot. You know, they're trying to prove that they should be over there racing. They're trying to have success. So it's definitely one of the hardest periods for Americans, distance men especially, to break through on. But we kind of talked about taking advantage of that and, you know, throwing himself into it. And really, you know, Kyle has been an athlete that's always had a very clear of an understanding of what he needed to do to kind of succeed, especially when it came to championships, you know, to win national titles, that sort of stuff. And he was fantastic at that. I mean, his track record was basically anytime you came into a world championship year, more often than not, he was the guy that was winning those national level races. But really, the World Cup is a tricky one, because you also don't get the luxury of just kind of picking and choosing. You have to kind of spend some time over there to learn the venues and figure out how you live on the road with your teammates over there for support. And so the big kind of challenge to kind of figure out for that for this year in particular is, okay, how can you throw yourself into that environment and start to figure out some of those tricks? Because it's really important if you're a U.S. athlete to learn how to live on the road, away from home, away from family for an extended period of time, and how you use the good races and also the bad races, and kind of roll through it so that you can arrive at the races perhaps that you're looking most at targeting. So that was kind of, you know, one goal was to break out ski period one World Cup, which he had never done before. He'd always started his season domestically. And we were looking at possibly doing the Tour de Ski if he felt like he wanted to take advantage of that, and then target the Tour de Ski and the Ski Tour Scandinavia. But then also kind of getting towards a later stage of his career, with nationals being back in Houghton, looking at coming back and racing there, and those are race trails that he knows in and out, having right. trained there so much and won his first national championship title. So the other kind of, I won't say secondary, but equally important goal was to, you know, if he didn't want to do Tour de Ski, to come back and kind of throw himself back into preparations to be the best that he could there. And that's kind of ultimately where we started leaning after Davos. He had a very near miss, was just a few seconds from scoring points. Still an incredibly solid race, a very difficult race for American distance men, especially to kind of have standout results at. But he came back, kind of took a little bit of a break, got his feet back under him, did his final prep for nationals, and had a fantastic nationals there with a win in the 15K skate. Again, a race that he won in 2015, his first national championship title, and then another second place in the 30K mass start classic. And then we took a little bit of time after nationals to kind of evaluate where he was at, what his goals were for the rest of the season, and so he actually took a little bit of time before traveling back to the next Super Tour in Craftsbury, Vermont, raced there and had good races as well. But, you know, after nationals, we kind of sat down and tried to evaluate where he was at, and he was starting to feel like he was basically ready to, you know, the kind of, it's an interesting dynamic, right? When you're a young, hungry athlete, you want nothing more than to have the opportunity to have these at-bats racing over in Europe and trying to become a World Cup ski racer. And you know, I think for the first time in his life, it was kind of like, okay, I'm at an age where I've gotten to experience world championships. I've gotten to experience World Cup. I've succeeded at a level that very few people have. And I'm actually kind of at a point in my life where that's great to know that I have those options available to me, but maybe, you know, the sacrifices that I didn't view as sacrifices when I was 21, 22, 23, I start getting older and I realize, like, you know, I just don't know if that's really what I want to throw myself back into. And so that's an important, I mean, it's a very difficult crossroads to be at as an athlete. But it's also really important to kind of acknowledge that, you know, something that you've pursued for a long time doesn't mean that it doesn't still inspire passion in you, but it may start looking different and feeling different. And that's an important thing to kind of embrace and understand that, like, you don't have to do this for forever. You know, ultimately, you're the one that's deciding to make the sacrifices and do that hard work. And it's incredibly difficult at the top level to have the success that you want. I mean, it's a very hard sport, and especially hard coming from a male distance skier side of things, where an incredibly successful race might be a 26th place on World Cup, right? That, like, that's, yeah. You know, it just looks like a 26th place, but that's a really, really impressive result because of the depth of field and competitiveness of all of those races. So I think Nationals was like a huge relief to feel like you double down and throw yourself into one of the big goals on the season, to finish those races really strong. And I think that after those races, it was kind of a period of evaluation, saying, like, yeah, you know, like, there's a lot of other stuff that I want to pursue, you know, with my career, and you know, starting that process and starting to look at that in the midwinter time, instead of saying, oh, I just need to see this thing all the way through, and then I'll start thinking about what I'm going to do in April. Because if there's one thing that I've learned from working with Kyle is that, you know, for him, he thrives on having a plan in place that he believes in. That, like, you know, the approach of how you execute is so important, and so he thrives on direction. And skiing's always something that provides athletes that sort of pathway. I mean, they are planners, right? They plan every little detail. Right. And so the nice thing about that sort of, you know, spending so much of your life honing that skill, it sets you up for success no matter what you decide to ultimately pursue, right? Because you can take the lessons that you learned from, you know, a decade of incredibly hard work and dedication, and you apply that to whatever, you know, job market you go into, and you're going to be rewarded for that. So I think in that way, like, you know, skiers when they're done or transitioning from skiing are very well positioned to have success in whatever it is that they pursue afterwards.
Right. And as far as, like, when you're advising athletes like Kyle, when it comes to kind of these decisions as far as limited World Cup starts, and then you've got this kind of, like, charging group of juniors that are coming in, and U23 athletes that are kind of competing for those spots as well, and you've got this age-weighted criteria, like, how do you weigh some of those things in those conversations?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a tricky one because we have an incredibly strong group of young athletes coming up in the U.S., which is a fantastic thing. I mean, we as a ski nation, it's not like we are arriving. We have arrived. We have athletes on World Cup succeeding at a very, very high level. We have junior and U23 athletes that are world junior champions individually and in relays. You know, we have this depth of skiing. But it's also incredibly difficult because if you are an older athlete that, you know, maybe hasn't met a or B team age weighted criteria, you know, the expectation is, yes, you can earn, World Cup starts, through various pathways through objectively leading the Super Tour. And then also, you know, we as a nation try to fill our start spots. But it's difficult as an athlete that's not, you know, fully funded on the A team or supported on the B team. So the expectation for support is, you know, there's a higher financial cost. There's a lot more logistics involved. And so it becomes difficult. And at some point in time, it's very hard for those athletes to figure out how they can continue to balance, you know, how am I going to financially support my ski racing? And then also, you know, every year that goes on is also another year that I'm not entering, like, you know, a normal job market, right? So I'm building a resume, but it's a very unique and different resume compared to what you would normally experience going into, you know, quote, the real world, right?
Right.
And so I think my feeling and approach to it has always been that, you know, I'm fully supportive of whatever athletes decide and whatever their passions are. So if it's 100% skiing, then that's what they should pursue. If it's like, you know, this is what I want, I'm going to chase this dream as long as I possibly can, that's fantastic. But also, you know, if they get to a point where they are starting to say, okay, you know, this is something that is still a passion of mine that I'm going out and pursuing, but I'm starting to feel like, you know, my time pursuing this at the highest level might be coming towards an end, or I'm starting to, like, look at what is out there and available to me, then I think it's important to recognize and acknowledge, like, yes, this sport isn't something that you do for forever. So it's a difficult, you know, kind of discussion to have, and there's no right or wrong answer, like, oh, how long do you do this for? When do you decide you're going to be done? I think the most important thing, and this is what I always tell athletes, is that whether they decide that they're going to completely be done with ski racing or try to find more of a balance between ski racing and pursuing, you know, a job on the side, like, there's no right or wrong. It just has to kind of be an individual decision, and it has to feel right, because the most important thing is that if you pursue something for that long that you feel like you've come, you know, very few people get to step away from the sport accomplishing everything that they want.
You just cut out.
That they're happy with the decisions that they've made, and that it inspired and fired up from the sport and the pursuit of it. And that's the most important thing in my mind. Like, you know, the last thing that we ever want is, as coaches and individuals, is for people to feel like, you know, they finished their ski careers, you know, not feeling like they got what they wanted out of it. So that in my mind is one of the most important things. And I think that's, like, it was interesting in my conversations with Kyle, like, one of the comments that he had is, I've never felt like I've kind of arrived at what I have wanted for so long, yet also, like, started to realize that there's a lot more in life that I want to pursue. And that makes me feel, like, very balanced and happy. And so that's kind of an interesting dynamic, right? Like, objectively on paper, you've accomplished what you have wanted to do for so long, and you're ready to kind of, like, if he wanted to race Tour de Ski and race all of the World Cups this winter, he could have. But at some point in your life, you start to realize, like, you know, that's me at 23 would have had a very different, like, I would have jumped on that. But me at my age now, I'm starting to realize, like, there's a lot of other stuff that that is super engaging to me, and I'm okay with that, and I want to, like, recognize and acknowledge that.